and spent 16 years of the 20 years my husband was in the service, I know the battles in more than one area that we fight in our homes. I know the battles that we fight on the jobs. I know the battles that the women fight daily in their homes. And I know that I wouldn't be standing here before you if it wasn't for God Almighty. I know where I would be. I would be in an insane asylum somewhere, because that was where I was headed. Because the enemy, from the moment of conception, he tries to stop the plans of God for each and every one of us. He doesn't want to see what God is going to do through birthing that person into being. How many more births will become a result of that individual through prayer and intercession? Every day of our lives, we are hearing about abortions. It is an enemy that has crept in to be such a stronghold, not just in our nation, but across the world, to stop the destiny of each and every child. Can you imagine if Billy Graham had been aborted? What would have happened? But there was a Billy Graham that had been aborted, but not the one that we have here on this earth now. We sometimes think that the life that we have is insignificant. We think that because we might be a mother, we might be a janitor, we might be a garbage collector, whatever our position or our job is, we identify ourselves sometimes as that person. I'm going to need some water. But God identifies us by who we are in Him. Thank you. And who He is in us. How many of us sitting here this morning realize that we have a greater responsibility than ever before? We are at war, not individuals, but the spirits that are controlling these individuals. And how many of us are truly fulfilling the destiny and the plan God has for our lives? Are we just going through this life willy-nilly? Whatever will be, will be. I won't make a difference, so why should I stand up? I won't make a difference. Why should I speak out? What I have to say isn't that important. My one vote isn't that important. My one voice is not that important. But compound with all of the other voices, it is important. The child that you see today will be the future president, the future leaders of our country, should the Lord tarry. Are we preparing them for that? Are we getting them ready? Are we expecting the Sunday school teachers, the pastor? They only have them for a short period of time. You have them for the rest of their life. Many, many times, we fight the individual instead of fighting the spirit that is controlling the individual. We look at a child that has anger issues and we want to discipline them, which we should, but we should look beyond that anger and find out where it came from. Was it planted because something you said and the enemy took that and bored into their mind and into their spirit, into their emotions, Did you look at a child and say, you'll never amount to anything unless you do this and do that? That you'll never amount to anything is what got in. Not the, if you don't do this and that. We see many spirits operating within our homes. We don't take authority over them. Children are having nightmares because there is a spirit that is harassing them. You're unaware. Your eyes are blinded. We don't want to see that we've got an enemy out there. Oh, we want a great, big, wonderful God and all that He provides, but we have to fight through what we're experiencing here on this earth. We can't have it as easy as you think. If we would, I would sit on the pulpit, or not on the pulpit, but on the altars, and the Lord would just chop off all the extra weight without me doing a thing. That would be wonderful. But I have to do something. We're not doing anything, church. We're sitting on our laurels thinking, oh, everything's all right. I'm okay by four and no more. Church, wake up. We've had message after message after message. God is sounding the alarm. We're right at the edge of disaster, never to be returned to the life that we once had. We're not looking at it. We're not seeing it. We're closing our eyes and shutting our ears. We don't want to see it. We don't want to hear it. As long as it has touched my family yet, that's okay. Wasn't that what people said about World War II and the annihilation of the Jews? Well, it's not my family. I don't have anyone in this dogfight. So why should it bother me? Well, how close is it before we have it here on our shores? We've got some right here. Have we interceded and prayed and intervened in the spirit realm on the behalf of those who are being beheaded, those who are being starved, those who are being persecuted, who are being bound, not just physically, but spiritually as well? Are we paying any attention? And if we are, what are we doing about it? I said, what are we doing about it? The enemy can walk right in through the doors of a church and you won't recognize him. Sheep and wolves calling can come in and you won't recognize him. Why? You don't want to. Because if you do, there's something you have to do about it. And you're okay. You're okay. Are you? I have been in service after service after service after service after service. All over. And feel and sense. We just on the edge of a breakthrough. If we'll just press in and get away from the outer court and then get into that holy of holies, we'll have that breakthrough. You pull back. Why? Because of responsibility if you go in. You have to make sure that you're ready to go in. You have to prepare. And you maybe have a little bit of thing there that you don't want exposed. Well, honey, whether it's exposed or not, it's going to get bigger and bigger. You better deal with it now while it's small. It's going to get stronger and stronger. You better deal with it now, or it's going to go overwhelm you. It's going to kill you spiritually or physically. It will take over your family, destroy. Look at this destruction that has swept across our country in our families. The enemy has set out to destroy the family. So goes the family. So goes the church. So goes the nation. We have allowed, as people of God, We have allowed the prayer to be out of the school. We have not stood up and came in unity. Do you understand that word? Unity? One mind, one purpose, one body, one spirit, flowing in agreement and moving in unity. Instead, we had other things that were more important. But now we look back and we see that all the things that we didn't stand up for, all the things that the church as a whole did not unify themselves and stand up as a whole, has come to pass. And now we're facing same-sex marriage. We're facing all of this evil and perversion that has entered into our families, into our schools, into our neighborhoods, into our cities, into our states, into our nation, and all the world over. Now we're facing a hierarchy of the devil's kingdom. And let me tell you, that level of spiritual warfare only has a few that are called to that level. But we're not even fighting at the level that we're on. And that is the home front. Every war has its chain of command. Military-wise, Satan's kingdom and God's kingdom. And only those who have had experience in the hierarchy of God's kingdom and fighting through the atmospheres, the heavenlies, will be able to fight through the kingdom of, or the Satan's rule. So folks, you've let down the home front. You've been depending on the army as the commander-in-chief and those underneath and the hierarchy to do all the fighting. You haven't supplied those who are doing the fighting. You haven't maintained what they've already won. You haven't done your job. You haven't secured the home front, the homes, the churches, the schools, the neighborhoods. It's time that the church of God heard the voice of God and saw what he sees and know and feel his heartbeat. And know that you are totally immersed in him and he in you. The intimacy that we need to fight in the intercession that needs to be going on to break, to bind, to loose, to cast out, to cast down, to invade. No more do we need to be on the defense, because it hasn't worked. You just get overwhelmed every day. And some of you are casting out the same demons. Some of you are fighting with the same spirits. And you wonder why. You haven't gained any ground. And the enemy has been distracting you, has detoured you, has clouded your mind and your spirit until you can't see clearly, and you can't hear clearly, and you can't walk straight. It's time that we got into what God is into. instead of doing and having our own agenda. Now this morning, our worship was different. I felt it. I sensed it. It was different. Every time we come into the house of God, we should have already prepared ourselves at home to come into His presence and to worship Him. We like the outer court where the praise is and the thank you, Jesus, and all of that. But we need to press in, and we need to have the incense flowing in the Holy of Holies. But before we can do that, we have to check ourselves. Before we go into any battle, we have to prepare. In the military, they have to go to training. Basic training. Some survive, some don't. Those who survive goes on to fight another day. In God's army, we need to prepare too. We need to check ourselves and check our homes to see if we have allowed any little speck, any little sliver for the enemy to come in. Because he'll come in and he'll break it wide open. If it's anger, if it's for unforgiveness, if it's lust, if it's greed, whatever that spirit might be, and there's many out there, and there's always a spirit that comes in that is the strong man in that echelon. He comes in, he gets control. He's broken through your defenses, he gets control, he gets strong, so he invites some that come underneath him to come in. And so then you got a lot to deal with. If you just dealt with what you saw and what was going on now instead of waiting. The minute that child has that nightmare, do something about it. The minute that that child throws a temper tantrum, do something about it. Not just in the physical, but in the spiritual. Look at them and see and have God tell you, what is this spirit? Where is the roots of this anger coming from? Where did it come in? I want to know, because I want to go to that root and I want it to be torn up by the roots and slung away, never to return again. Where is that pouting, manipulative, controlling spirit? How did it get in? What door did I open? Find out that door and get rid of it. And any of the others that might be underneath. We have these little spirits that are sort of like nitpicking, biting, frustrating, sort of like a mosquito. You get them in your house and you hear that buzz and you say, whoops, whoops. And then you try to find it. You can't find it. That's just like that kind of spirit. It just buzzes, buzzes, buzzes. And you try to hit it. Can't find it. But you hear it. You hear it. You see it. And it just scurries and scurries. See, we as women of God need to look at our children, because we know our children. And the minute we spot anything, men of God too, the minute we spot anything that doesn't feel right, look right, or act right, take care of it. Take care of it. And husband and wife, you need to do the same. How many times have you gone without asking forgiveness. Thinking, oh, I'll do that. Well, yeah, but you know, the time's not quite right. Or thinking, okay, when my husband left the house this morning, or when I left the house this morning, I left with a little bit of anger. Maybe I left with not feeling appreciated. Oh boy, that's when the really enemy can take a hold of. He can break up a family and a marriage quick in that unappreciated. It's not fair. Honey, God didn't tell you fair. Not in this world. It's not just. You can't always get justice in this world, but you can from Him. And when those things start coming in, before you know it, they've taken a hold, and you wonder where your marriage is headed. And you get so stubborn, you don't get counseling. You will say, well, that's just the way it is. You know, Irish are saying, oh, well, I have temper because I'm Irish. No. If that came because of your heritage or your generation down or whatever, you don't have to put up with it. Break it. We have generational spirits that follow generation after generation until someone steps in and says, enough is enough. I break that in the name of Jesus Christ. You have to go. You cannot continue down my bloodline in the name of Jesus by the authority of the Word of God. And His Word is truth. And His Word is not lies, but you lie. And there's no truth in you. Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. And don't look back. How many of us take that kind of authority that we have in Christ? Pastor has been teaching about the church. Pastor has been teaching about prayer. He's been teaching about binding and loosing. He's been teaching about so many things. But have we applied them? Have we listened with our spirit, or just with up here? And then say, well, I don't see that in my family. I don't see that in my life. Well, you know, I'm okay now. Whatever excuse you might use. And I know that they're set in the church lots of times. And the message is preaching is, oh, we'll push that back. Oh, that goes to so-and-so. No, oh, that goes to so-and-so. Never realizing or wanting to accept it's you. Every time the Word of God is taught, every time the Word of God is preached, we have a responsibility. You know, when I first started preaching, and I didn't go to get my credentials for me, I don't want them. Until God had to sort of whip me a little bit and cut me down. Until I surrendered. And you know what He said? He said, you have to have Him for man. He said, God, one day, someone's going to run, walk up to you and said, what qualifies you to be preaching? What qualifies you to be teaching? Who are you? I'm a child of God. It's been called by God, anointed by God. And yes, honey, I did take the very same step that your pastor did, even though I'm a woman. I did not get any exceptions. I had to pass every test. I had to study and climb the ladder. But see, they didn't know that all the time I wasn't climbing that ladder, God was. And when he got me to the top, he said, see over here? You started out over here. They said you'd never make it. You see over here, they said, no, you would never, never get ordained. He said, but what happened? He said, you're here. He said, I fulfill my promises. Nothing can stop what I desire and put into motion. Not man, not any spirit. I am that I am. I am El Shaddai, Almighty. I am all-knowing, and I'm everywhere present. And I went, they did not affect it in any way. God is God. He's God. But you know what? Sure enough, there was that lady. There was that one at ordination that said, oh, just two people down from me. Oh, I came to you because I know you're not married. And everyone else is here because their husbands are pastors. My husband was not a pastor. In fact, when we first started this journey, my husband wasn't even saved. And that's my excuse, see? God, my husband won't go along with it. Well, I tell you what he did. He didn't move us whenever he wanted to open more doors, whenever he wanted me to grow in more areas. And so if he could move the Pentagon, couldn't he move my husband? And I finally said, oh yeah, I guess he can. And he did. You see, we look at the roadblocks instead of looking at the great God. We look at what we need to defeat instead of looking back of who our commander-in-chief is and what he has available for us. He has all the hierarchy of angels. Michael, Gabriel, the messaging angels, the ministering angels, and all the others, guardian angels, all of these different levels. And see, we have 2/3 of God's army. The world and Satan only has 1/3. So why aren't we defeating him? Why aren't we invading the territory that God tells us to invade? I'm reminded of when I went to school. And, by the way, I only went to 9th grade. Got my GD, though. Got my college degree, too. So. But anyway, when I'd go to a football game, we'd stand up there and we'd say, push him back, way back. That was an old-time cheer. And so what are we doing? We're saying, come on, come on. Oh, yeah, don't know. You'd crossed it. Well, come on. Come. Oh, yeah, well, you crossed it again. I should have said, get back, get back, get back, get back. Here I come. Get out of my way, and I'm taking this territory. Every place my foot trods belongs to God and belongs to me. It's time we got excited. It's time we got a roaring. It's time we put on our boots and start marching and tearing down walls, delivering cities. We're not all called to deliverance ministry, but we're all called to deliver. We're not all called to the higher echelon, but we are called to the lower levels. We're not all called to intercessory warfare, where we're all called to intercession. We're not all called in all of these different ministries, but we're still ministers. We're not all called to be preachers, but we're still preachers. We're not all called to be teachers, but we still teach. We may not have the office, but we have been given the right. And God said that what he said we would do, we would do. But honey, we have to do. The kingdom of heaven suffers violently, but the violent have to take it by force. Take it! Well, now, come on. You know, I'm supposed to have this. And I really want it, and I really need it. Come on, give it to me. No. I am going to take back what you have stolen from me, from my family, from my church, and from my children. Oh, all of them married now. From my grandchildren and great-grandchildren as well. They belong to me. Any child of yours and your future children, your future grandchildren, great-grandchildren, you have the authority and you have the right because they are your household. How many times do we sit in our services when we need to be praying and interceding that the message that the preacher is preaching, the message that God has laid on their heart, that will be received? That if it's salvation, salvation will flow. If it's healing, healing will flow. If it's deliverance, deliverance will flow. If it's brokenheartedness, brokenheartedness will be mended and put back and restored, that broken heart. But first, we have to fight it in the heavenlies. And we fight it on our knees. In my case, walking. Which, praise the Lord, I'm walking. And a lot of you know, got it. Joshua Makuria. He is so good. So the call has gone out, and now we need to answer the call. This church has been prophesied over. I don't know the particulars, but I know that this church has been prophesied over. That prophecy cannot be fulfilled until the church, the body of believers here, start advancing. Till they get away from the being babes and being coddled and being teenagers and getting out there before the time and get up and grow up and start taking authority. My husband would not survive, neither would a lot of others that went to Vietnam, if they didn't have a fighting and warring spirit. If they didn't believe that what they were fighting for was worth it. We have a cause like no other cause. We're fighting for the kingdom of God to be revealed, for the souls to be birthed so they can be part of that kingdom. We are fighting for those who are already at the edge of hell. Reinhard Bonnke said he was plundering hell to populate heaven. We need to do some plundering. We need to do some stealing back. Wouldn't be stealing because it belongs to us anyway. So folks, this church has a lot of potential, but it can't fill that potential without each one of us. We're a body. Satan has used disunity. He has nipped us in the bud when it comes to unity in the body of Christ. We have jealousies in our own little groups, let alone other churches. We have envy. We have gossip. We have strife. We have, I'm right, nobody else is right. I remember that by my little girl. I do it myself. She did. She had a whole stack of x-rays prove it. So we have a me-do-it-myself attitude. We don't need anybody. We've got God. And no, that's right, we've got God. But he meant us to be a body. He meant every part of the body to be fitly joined together in unity. And not be jealous because you're not the one that's seen. You're one of the inner workings. And you know, because of that, we don't fellowship and come together as a body in our own city. There's so many churches, and we have them, and I know, and we don't all have to go to the same church to be in unity. You hear what I'm saying? We don't all have to go to the same church to be in unity. We just all have to catch the same vision. We just all have to have the same passion. We all have to know that we're going on the offense and invading and going forward, striking down, tearing down, pulling out. All of those things that needs to be done. The enemy has used it. He's also used our terminology against us. He's also used worship. Did you know? Do you have any idea that when these songs were sung this morning, they were warfare? They broke through the heavenlies. That's why we had a good service, a good spirit, a good presence of God. Did everyone participate? Oh, I probably not. But enough did that those that didn't influence. We should come every morning. And yes, we start out in the outer court, praising, thanking. That's okay. But honey, we need to press in. We need to press in to get into the inner court. And then once into the inner court, and we have the intimacy and the closeness, then we need to hear from God of how we're supposed to war. If we do, this church will be set ablaze. If we could get that into other churches, if we could just realize, if we could just realize what God has given us that's available. There's so much more. There's marching, there's treading, there's shouting, there's clapping, there's laughing, there's joy, there's weeping, there's travail. There's just so much more. And not enough time this morning to share it all. But you got to get started. You know what? Sometimes I literally have to go, whoop! Now, Satan, get out. You know, it's not Satan, because Satan is up there, but he sends those little men along, go take that message with your leader. And I literally do. And more so when I came home from retreats and things and hit the door. Whoa! Like World War II hit. Neighbors coming to complain. And finally, I had enough, and I stood right out there in the open. And I said, okay, Satan, you're not going to rob what I got. You're not going to take from me my joy. You're not going to take from me my peace. And you're not going to take from me that which I've learned and is planted in my spirit. So you get out of here. They looked at me like I was crazy. Well, later on, I guess they realized I was. I'd rather be crazy for God and a fool for God than be crazy in a nut house or headed that way or be a fool for the enemy. God is not asking you to do anything that you wouldn't do if you were not a cheerleader in a ball game. Then he doesn't ask you to be his cheerleader. But if you are, then honey, you need to cheer. If you're not one of those that says, push it back, and when the football game's playing, you said, oh, well, and say, well, if he would have just caught that ball. So interested in all of our sports and their results. Yet, we're not as passionate and interested for God and all of his results and what he wants us to do. One more thing. And I know, I have a tendency to, well, I know, I'm not going to apologize for that. I go the way God leads me, but in that, my son said, I can't really tell you or explain my mama, you just have to see her. But I want you to do something. I want you to stand up. And I want you to do a little cheer. Do just a little cheer. Give me a J. Give me an E. Give me a U. Give me an S. And give me an E. J-E-S-U. When I'm cheering, I sometimes forget what next comes next. And what does that spell? Okay, now we're going to shout.